From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the second day of December 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, Republican lawmakers have blasted the chairman of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. The comment period has ended on proposed rules to tighten child labor rules. And lawmakers from states through which the Missouri River flows say flood control, not recreation creation, should be the emphasis of the U.S. Corps of Engineers. Dave Dickey will have all these stories in a moment, and then we'll close out our program. We'll have a discussion about the agricultural weather forecast with the state climatologist from the Illinois State Water Survey, Jim Angel, right here on the University of Illinois' Closing Market Report.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures in the soft red winter wheat pit finished the day higher. December contract, $6.12 and a quarter, up 10 and a quarter for the day. The March at 6.25 and a half, up 11 and a quarter, and July at 6.54, 8 and a half cents higher. The hard red in Kansas City finished at $6.98, up 12 and a quarter cents. December corn back in Chicago losses, down 8 and a quarter at 5.86 and a half. March futures 5.95 and a quarter, 6 and a quarter lower. The May at 6.03, down 6 and a quarter, and July corn, $6.08 and three quarters, down 5 and a half cents. December futures, 5.53 and a quarter, a penny lower for the afternoon. January soybean futures, $11.35 and three quarters, up 7 and three quarters. The March at 11.46 and a quarter, up 7 and three quarters. The May, 11.56 and a quarter, up 7 and a quarter. And July soybeans, $11.66 and a quarter, up 7 and a half cents. November of next year at $11.55 and a half a bushel, up 6 and a half cents in the bean pit. Bean meal futures, December contract, 80 cents lower, 286.40. Soybean oil at $50 and a nickel, up 53 cents on the day. Live cattle futures finished the December at 121.90, unchanged. February at 123.25, down 47 and a half. January feeders at 147 and 7 and a half cents, up 97 and a half. The March at 149.25, 90 higher, and lean hogs at 86.25, down $1.32 and a half cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures January contract at $100.82 a barrel, 63 cents higher. Ethanol at 250 and 3 tenths, that's down 2 and 4 tenths of a cent. Natural gas at 258 and 9 tenths, a nickel and 9 tenths lower. And the heating oil up just 2 cents for the day at $2.99. It's diesel fuel. And gold futures December contract $11.70 higher at $1,747. The Dow at 12,043, just about 24 points higher. And the dollar at 78.6. That's down 0.3, or rather up 0.3 for the day. The CRB index at 313.57, up 0.26. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for Urbana-Champaign this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, a high near 39 degrees with the southeast wind at about 7 miles an hour. Tonight, increasing clouds, a low of 31. Southeast winds between 7 and 11, gusting to 15. And Saturday, mostly cloudy, the high near 52 degrees. South winds at 11 to 17, gusting to 22 miles an hour. Saturday night, rain, a low of 44. It'll be breezy, a south-southwest wind between 17 and 20 and gusting as high as 24. The chance of rain on Saturday night set at 80%. Sunday, a 40% chance of rain before noon, mostly cloudy, a high of 46, but the southwest wind at 10 to 18, gusting to 23. By the time we get to Sunday evening, it'll be mostly cloudy with a low of 29. And on Monday, partly sunny skies, a high of 37. Monday night, cloudy with a 24-degree low, partly sunny on Tuesday, and a high of just 33 degrees. Tuesday night will show us partly cloudy skies and 23. Wednesday, sunny, and a high of 35. That's right, a high of just 35 and sunny skies on Wednesday afternoon. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Jim Angel from the Illinois State Water Survey.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. On the phone line, as usual with us, is Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Has it been a fun week in your part of the world or
well,
not?
Well, yeah, it has from a standpoint of the winter weather we got. But other than that, I think everybody's still pretty much on pins and needles when it comes to the markets, especially when we headed into Thanksgiving holiday and had such a dismal week when we went into Thanksgiving. And earlier this week, it looked a lot better. But I think you saw, you know, what we have seen the last few weeks is that the market is still kind of just forced into believing that the global demand and the EU crisis trumps everything else. And we're going to, if we get any rallies, they're rallies meant to be sold. And the volume continues to be very, very light. I've been tracking volume especially closely these past couple weeks, Todd, with the holiday and with what's going on, and it's just an extremely light volume, and the rallies are a particularly light volume as well. Wheat was a little bit better today than normal, so that was something to note.
Yeah, and well, the wheat, not only better today, but it jumped, what, 37 and three quarters on the week in the December, July of next year, up 36 and a quarter?
Exactly, and the wheat-corn spread has gained almost 30 cents since Wednesday, so I think if you take a step back, we have made progress this week. I think that genuinely speaking, from the central bank's move, from what the European Union is trying to get done in terms of changing their treaty, so their monetary union will also have a fiscal union to it, so that they can really take head on this issue of their debt problem and their poor credit issues and their tight liquidity. They're really, I think, on the right path at this point. That's probably the best we can say, or in my view anyway, probably the best we've seen them operate this past week in probably 3 or 5 months. So I think between that and the way the wheat technicals look and the way the wheat seasonals look and the gains that the euro was able to make at the expense of the U.S. dollar, I do think there's probably some medium-term or short-to-medium-term benefits that we gained from this past week. I think it's a waiting game. These end users continue to talk about, especially in the export market, continue to talk about the slack demand and the lack of demand, and the funds are remaining on the sidelines for the most part. I'm hopeful that as we get towards the end of the contracts here with the December futures and as we get closer to the end of the month, we see some type of turnaround here, hopefully led by the EU crisis getting a lot better.
You might making a leap of faith to connect a higher wheat market to the idea that the financial stability potentially in Europe is causing traders of that particular commodity to feel better about its use for food and are then turning around and buying or more feeling better about it and buying more of that potential product?
No, I don't think so, especially if you couple it with a stronger bean market. I think that's where the currencies really do have a lot more role to play typically or historically in the wheat market and also in the bean market, especially with the beans and related to the Brazilian real. I think what you're probably getting around and maybe trying to focus more attention upon is, can we start to look at the supply-demand fundamentals more than the macro fundamentals? And if that's the case, then maybe the macro fundamentals aren't nearly as bleak as they have been portrayed and as the prices have tried to price in such a bleak outlook. And I think this week's price action, I think today's news out of the Ukraine about them having a potential shortfall of domestic new crop total grains, their rapeseed is in just as bad a shape, but they may even need to be importing in this coming year. I think that did a lot to the trade in terms of making it think. And I had this question asked of me several times this week, is it maybe we've hit a peak in supply globally for the wheat? I think for the next 6 to 8 months, we indeed have.
So you could have just told me, no, Todd, you're wrong.
No. I think you're on the right path.
Oh,
okay. As far as the relationship of wheat to the outside market, there is a very key relationship. I think what we need are the beans to stay firm with the wheat because it's currency related. And most of all, what we need is if we can get our attention off of the European Union because it's in fact improving or at least stabilizing, then we see maybe the end users start to come back. And that's really what I'm on the hunt for as we get closer to the end of the year, that the end users and the funds both, so to speak, jump off the fence at the same time and come back swinging and buying.
Okay, so speaking of end users, export market for corn, dismal again this week?
Correct, and I think that's a major player in today's price action, this week's price action, the psychology we've traded the last 30 to 45 days. The other thing that came out was China's government said they're going to be up near 192 million tons of corn production. The likelihood is that they've got so much in reserve that they're going to go ahead and not put any of the new crop in reserve and throw it on the open market to try and get prices down. So I think between the export market and this Chinese news, corn has shifted the role of leader to the downside. It's playing the role of what wheat had to play 60 and 90 days ago. Now corn's fighting that same battle. Now here again, I think the Ukrainian news is a big player here because corn has been pushed so much lower globally at the ports because of Ukraine in particular. Here again, that might be an issue. In 2 to 3 weeks, we start to see quite a bit of global demand come back to our shores because of Ukraine's problems.
Old crop and new crop close the gap.
Indeed. Yep, we're back to parity there, and I think that's where the market is working very, very hard to try and keep premium in the new crop, and I think that's wise because as you take that new crop corn down and you take the beans, you keep those near the $11.50 to $12 level, I don't think you're going to get 93 to 93.5 million acres like a lot of people have penciled in for this next spring.
Okay, so producers who need to make a sale for Christmas or whatever else might be coming up due before the end of the month are going to do that one way or the other. But if they don't need to make a sale at this point for corn or beans, should they?
No, I don't think they do. I don't think they need to. I think if we keep the status quo in Europe, in other words, it doesn't worsen but it doesn't get any better, I think the path of least resistance is the same path we've seen here, where the corn and bean futures go lower, but the basis comes in and compensates for it. And I think seasonally, from a standpoint of the wheat market finding a bottom, that adds a little bit more of a potential for a spike up and a relief rally. That's kind of what I've been writing about in the newsletter these past 3 to 4 weeks. We didn't get our relief rally at Thanksgiving because Europe worsened. Well, now I'm sitting here saying I think that the European issue is back on track and we can improve the situation. That relief rally that I expected before Thanksgiving should come by the end of the year now.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good weekend, sir.
You too. That is Mike Zuzlow. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. You know, if you get the opportunity, visit our website. The address is WILLAG.org. At about 4:30 Central Time this afternoon, we'll have in studio with us Dan Zwicker and Paul Cooley and Wayne Nelson for Commodity Week. And our guest on the phone line today will be Bill Turney. He's from Dan Bossi's office there in Chicago at Ag Resource Company. We'll post that program before it airs on any of our radio stations to our website at WILLAG.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
A couple of other things you can find on our website include a way to sign up for our free weekend newsletter. It's all about marketing commodities, and it's a good one. Your Director of Ag Programming, Dave Dickey, writes that. He'll be here in a moment, by the way, with the Ag News for the afternoon. You can listen to old versions of Commodity Week. It's archived there in the Commodity Week section. And you can always listen to us live if you'd like as well. Just hit listen up on the top edge of the page and you'll hear our home radio station. Now here's Dave.
In agricultural news, Republican lawmakers blasted the chairman of the CFTC on Thursday for his agency's role in the collapse of MF Global and called his recusal from the investigation a way to avoid the heat. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission and its chairman, Gary Gensler, are under pressure because of the quick collapse of the futures brokerage and for allegedly not policing the firm's bookkeeping closely enough. Investigators are searching for as much as $1.2 billion in missing customer money. Gensler recused himself from the CFTC's probe into MF Global after it filed for bankruptcy on October 31st. Gensler defended himself before the Senate Agriculture Committee, saying that while he did not recuse himself immediately, It did so as soon as the CFTC prepared for possible civil and criminal charges. Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow pressed Gensler and SEC Chairman Mary Shapiro on why MF Global received a clean bill of health just months before its failure and the revelation of its messy books. The regulators said their ability to check the firm was limited because they have few resources and are forced to rely on industry watchdogs. The comment period ended yesterday on proposed Labor Department rules that would toughen child labor laws for farm workers. The proposed rules would raise the minimum age of employment to 16 on farms and 18 for facilities that handle raw commodities, such as grain elevators or work inside grain bins. They also limit who can handle pesticides, operate heavy machinery, and work with animals. The rules also prohibit teens from using electronic devices like cell phones while working. The proposed rules garnered more than 6,300 comments. Lawmakers from Missouri River states say flood control should be the main priority for the Corps of Engineers rather than placing emphasis on recreation and environmental concerns. Nine congressmen from six states that faced flooding this year reflected a bipartisan unified front, testifying yesterday before a House Transportation and Infrastructure Subcommittee. The subcommittee is examining options for changing Corps of Engineers policies for managing the Missouri River. This comes after record flooding in 2011 that included more than 60 million acre-feet of runoff compared to 25 million in a normal year. And China's National Bureau of Statistics today says that China's corn harvest in 2011 jumped 8.2% or 14.5 million tons from a year ago to 192 million metric tons, that after farmers planted more high-yield seeds and rains aided plants' growth. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, that second program you can find on our website after about 6 o'clock Central Time this evening. We'll record at 4:30. Our panelists in studio, a good set, including Paul Cooley, Dan Zwicker, and Wayne Nelson. On the phone line, Bill Turney from Dan Bossi's Ag Resource Company office up in Chicago. Should be a great show. It'll be up on our website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock tonight. Now up next, in not too many more days, the AgEcon team from the University of Illinois will hit the road for the annual Farm Economics Summit. So I'll have a preview in just a moment. The Illinois Farm Economic Summits are targeted to farmers and agribusiness professionals. The agricultural economist from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign used the forum to provide topical and relevant information, says University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin.
These meetings are going to have a similar format to years past, and we'll cover kind of the range of topics affecting the outlook for profits in Illinois agriculture in 2012.
The chaos of the world economy makes the coming year scary for agriculture. Many in the crop production sector have thrived over the last several years, but are fearful that cup of plenty may soon end, wondering, says Irwin, how to best manage the economic turbulence.
And so we have selected a set of topics and speakers that we believe will help people in that management. The outlook for crop and livestock prices next year, one that I think people will be especially interested in, are colleagues at NASS, which is the agency inside the U.S. Department of Agriculture that is responsible for all of the data and inventory reports. They're going to be part of our presentation team and make a presentation on their procedures and how they make their estimates. So I think that alone will be of a lot of interest to producers this year. We're going to be talking about estate planning and all the changes going on in that way, then how to take a look at the risks and returns in the next year and how you might stress test that, how you might manage it with some of the new crop insurance programs that are being offered, and then where might we be headed with farm policy.
The Illinois Farm Economic Summits will travel the state starting December the 12th in Champaign at the I Hotel. That's on Monday. And then in DeKalb, actually Sycamore, at the Farm Bureau building on Tuesday. The Best Western Galesburg Wednesday, the Holiday Inn Mount Vernon Thursday, and at the Doubletree in Bloomington on Friday of the same week. That's Friday, December the 16th. Pre-registration through December 5th can be done online at farmdoc.illinois.edu. The cost is $50. That includes the noon meal. That meal also wraps up the morning-long event. Walk-ins are welcome at $65 a head. Again, pre-registration materials are online at farmdoc.illinois.edu. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois, is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
I bet it's quiet there in Ludlow today.
It is quiet. We get a phone call occasionally, a little bit of activity. We started taking January contracts already, so that kind of wakes the guys up at the dump a little bit.
Well, that's good. You don't want them to sleep all day.
Yeah.
So a bit of the January contract moving through. Have you got new sales? Have folks been doing the free DP with you? What kinds of things are happening?
Oh, a mixed bag. I'm getting plenty of questions on free DP. I don't have enough corn space to be able to do that yet. Mm-hmm. We've been kicking some beans out the door, so we're going to start on that next Wednesday on the free DP site on soybeans. So, you know, when you have a yield as short as we had on the south end of our draw area, it helps make bean space available a little quicker.
All right. Tell me about what you see in basis and then about trains and those sorts of things, too.
Basis is hanging in there. Corn switched to the March, but basically stayed steady as we did so.
Mm-hmm.
Beans gained a couple cents. Basis-wise, remains to be relatively decent, and it remains a domestic-driven market. When you look at exports, our sales are only down 3, or the USDA is looking down 13%. Sales are only down 3, but our shipments are down 14%. Beans are kind of the same pattern. USDA is only forecasting a 12% drop in exports, but sales and shipments are both in that 33 to 35% down. And that gets troubling because we should be front-end loaded on our shipments. If you don't ship them in harvest and right after, you tend not to do much catching up, especially on soybeans where you've got South America coming on 4 months down the road now.
And that's troubling because the marginal demand, or in this case the export demand, because that's the smallest portion of demand, is the one that drives price?
Yeah. You know, the value of that extra bushel, and will it be an extra bushel, and who's pushing that, and the fact that we're finding competitors for feed products, even though it may not necessarily be corn, but for feed products. And you keep getting China making noises out here that, well, they're buying pork, their corn crop's a little bit bigger, so when we dip, they weren't there to buy flat-price corn like we thought they might be.
And your bids for the day?
We are at $5.93 on nearby corn, $11.23 on the soybeans.
Thanks so much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, stay with us. I'll be back in just a couple minutes, and we'll talk with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey about the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Fritters Day. Thousands of years ago, the Romans and Greeks made fritters, deep frying flour mixed with milk, eggs, spices, and honey. On this day in agricultural history in 1885, George Richard Monat was born. An American physician, He was one of the developers of a raw liver diet used to treat anemia. In 1970, the Environmental Protection Agency began operations. William Ruckelhaus was the first director. President Richard Nixon charged the then 38-year-old Ruckelhaus to treat air pollution, water pollution, and solid wastes as different forms of a single problem. Ruckelhaus exceeded expectations, earning the nickname among lawmakers as Mr. Clean. And in 1995, Maria Telkis died, a Hungarian-born American biophysicist and chemist. She was a pioneer in using solar energy in heating applications. Among other things, she developed a solar-heated seawater distillation system and a solar-powered stove. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us is Jim Angel, the Illinois State Water Survey State Climatologist. Good afternoon to you, Jim.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Take me back through the month of November and tell me how it compares to previous months in this state.
Yeah, if you look at November, the outstanding features are that it was the ninth warmest November on record. We were at 45.3 degrees, which was about 3.5 degrees above. So very mild in terms of temperatures. Also a very wet month. In fact, it was the sixth wettest November on record. So ninth warmest and sixth wettest. We had statewide, we had an average of 5.2 inches. Which is almost 2 inches above normal, so very wet. And really, southern Illinois was the wettest. Down in Cairo, they had 9.9 inches. So it was pretty wet the farther south you go. So that's kind of the main stories there. There were a few places that got snow, but not a whole lot. A few sites in northern Illinois. And then kind of the oddball was the heaviest snowfall amount was in far southern Illinois. They had 2.5 inches right on November 30th there. So kind of got part of that snow that hit parts of Indiana and elsewhere. But so that's kind of an unusual, kind of upside down from where you normally see snowfall in Illinois.
When you have a month in history like this last one in November where it was awfully wet, does it portend anything for the coming December, January time frame for the state of Illinois?
You know, it's hard to say. We do have kind of a tendency, especially in the start of November, you kind of start seeing at least hints of what the wintertime weather pattern might be. So the fact that we've been running on somewhat on the mild side and on the wet side would at least suggest that that might be a continuation of that trend. And really, if you look at the forecast, not only for the next couple of weeks, but even for the winter forecast, it kind of bears that out. Right now, the National Weather Service forecast for December is pretty much near normal on the temperatures and above normal precipitation. The same way for the whole winter forecast there, December, January, February. So you're going to kind of see this, at least the possibility of this kind of a pattern to continue. Now, obviously, as we get into deeper in the winter here, the temperatures aren't going to be that mild, but I think we'll probably start seeing some snow in a couple of weeks. So at least the short-term forecast is rain for this weekend, about coming in about Saturday night and Sunday. The cold front moves through, but for the most part, it'll be rain. Maybe a little bit of snow at the very end of the event there. But then next week, it's going to be. The forecast to be below normal temperatures and near normal precipitation. The 8 to 14 day forecast is for normal temperatures and above normal precipitation. So I don't see anything really serious on the horizon, no kind of big looming winter storm or anything like that. I think we're just going to see some fairly typical and probably some fairly wet weather in the next 2 weeks.
Jim, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is with the Illinois State Water Survey, and that wraps up this edition of Commodity Week on a Friday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website at WILLAG.org by 6 o'clock this evening. We'll post our weekend program. We call that one Commodity Week.